Thank you, Lord.
Thank the good Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And so that which is from the heart reaches the heart.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes,
Lord. So we give praises to the Most High.
Yes. Yes.
And we do thank Brother Ray for a heartfelt praise.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We're going to go right ahead. Now, those of you who, some of you may have been here and we were working our way through the epistle to the Romans. And I mentioned to some of you on last week that we would be taking a brief hiatus from the epistle to the Romans, but we will return to it after the holiday season. And so we're making some preparation for the upcoming holiday. So we have a series of topical messages that are going to be on a particular theme as we go through, so we can talk about some things pertaining to the holidays. Amen. Because we want to give you some special instruction from the Word about some of the things that are going on. And so we're not going to prolong the time this morning. So in preparation for the coming holiday season, I have prepared this series of special messages, and we're going to take that pause, as we mentioned, from the Epistle to the Romans, but we will continue. If you missed any of it, it can be found online at teachingbible.org or at sttmbc.org. Those are our sister websites for St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church Ministries and also Straight Gate Ministries. And of course, that is on the handout that we gave you. If you do not have one, raise your hands. We'll try to accommodate you. The ushers may have additional copies. Amen. But to get us into the Word and move us a little into the Spirit of the Lord today, we're going to take a minute now and read a couple of passages, one from the Old and one from the New Testament. And we will ask everyone to take a stand at this time. Stretch your legs just a little and open your mind and your heart for the hearing of God's holy and inerrant Word. Amen. And we're going to have a reading from Psalms number 1. This is the entire introduction to the Psalter, Psalms 1, 1 through 6. And also from a famous passage of Scripture from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, known as the Sermon on the Mount, a few verses in Matthew chapter number 5 from the New Testament, verses 1 to 14. So yes, listen carefully to the reading of God's holy and inerrant Word.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is the entire introduction to the Psalter, as it is called, the 150 Psalms yes. of the Old Covenant. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy and inerrant
yes.
Word.
Yes.
Now for the reading of the New Testament Scripture, Matthew chapter 5.
And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which no longer that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Yes.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Yes.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake.
Yeah.
Rejoice.
Yes.
Be exceedingly glad.
Yes.
For great is your reward in heaven.
Yes.
For so persecuted they, the prophet, what was before you. Ye are the salt of the earth.
Yes, we are.
If the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast down.
You try, thank you.
You try. And trodden underfoot men.
Yes.
You are the light of the world. Yes. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ye are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy and inerrant word.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to speak on a subject just briefly here today called Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
Amen.
Now, if you'll pay attention to that title, you'll find out it is an acronym, B-I-B-L-E. Okay, and that's a little surprise built into that there for you. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth
Yes. Is
the Bible, God's
that's
Word.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And so we see here in our introduction here that we're speaking of the Bible, the holy and inerrant Word of God. The Bible basically is not like any other book because it has endured in all of time. And the Bible says that the heavens and the earth shall pass away. And God says, but my word will never pass away.
Never.
Amen. So it's been written for time and eternity. That's Mark 13:31 that says that the heavens and the earth shall pass away. And the reason for that is that God has spoken in time in order to give us what we need for time and eternity.
Yes.
Amen. Everything that we need for time and eternity is contained within this one book. And about the scriptures, and one thing that we studied that I want to just mention to you here, the Holy Bible is written by men divinely inspired and is God's revelation of himself to mankind.
Yes.
It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author,
yes.
Salvation for its end, truth without any mixture of error for its matter.
Yes.
Therefore, all scripture is totally true and trustworthy.
That's right.
It reveals the principles by which God judges us, and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union,
yes.
And the supreme standard by which all human conducts, creeds, and opinions and religious ideas will be tried.
He'll be tried.
And all scripture is a testimony to Christ, who himself is the focus of divine revelation.
Amen.
The whole Bible is really about Christ. And we want to keep that in the forefront of your thoughts. Because this is what we need. And these are the basic instructions that God has given before leaving earth. Amen. And we will be leaving the earth at some time. So we need to be prepared. And what does that is God's word all by itself. And of course, the Spirit of God energizes the word. He is the one that gives energy to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so there basically are two different groups of people. We want to just talk about this just a little. I think we need some basic instruction sometime when we're going into a holiday season.
Oh, yes,
this year has some other interesting components that are brewing. We have the threat of pestilence in the land,
yes.
Which is uncurable disease.
Yes, we do. Yes,
we have the threat of war and rumors of wars, like
yes.
Jesus said. We have internal struggle against government and the people.
Mm-hmm.
They're subject to break loose at any minute.
Amen.
And so this promises to be a very, very different holiday season that you and I are approaching here.
Yeah.
We have Thanksgiving, but you notice how Christmas commercials have already started even before Halloween. They want to skip Thanksgiving. Let's get past that. Let's get into the materialism. And let's move right along. We want to start to rake in the dollars now. We're going to have Black November instead of Black Friday later on. You see what I'm saying? So this is the mindset of the greedy populace that
yep.
is around us. And so we're starting to say that. We were amazed. My wife and I were looking at TV, and bam, all of a sudden, Christmas commercials, just before the month turned off. So here it is, Halloween now.
Yes.
It used to be they creeped it back to Thanksgiving, then a little bit before. Now they creeped all the way back to Halloween, and they're advertising already about the big sales and how you need to come in and spend money. And they're wanting to accelerate all this because they've got all kinds of dangling discord
yes.
going on in the culture.
Yeah.
It could result in extreme extreme backlash from some of the wicked things that are being done.
That's right.
For example, the whole Michael Brown and Darren Wilson scenario.
Yes.
Which they've been kind of leaking out a little bit, trying to prepare people to kind of slow down the influx of what could happen if they say that this man walks and does not get any judgment.
Amen.
And so they've been advertising that he's going to be eased out of office and all these kind of things slowly, trying to prepare people so they can kind of ease into the season. Hopefully, that's what they think. But we don't know, and I'm not sure about any of that. I just mentioned it because these are the kind of things stirring around in the community.
That's true.
And so we know that unrighteousness tends to tend toward greed and selfishness and being self-centered and all that. So I just want the people of God to get a good clean dose of fresh understanding about some of the basics here. Because this is fertile ground for evangelism on our part. Amen. Because people are going to be looking for answers if things break out another way other than what they expect.
Yes.
And so I like what the psalmist said, because what he says here in Psalm number 1 is he divides the whole world into two groups, just like Jesus always did.
Right.
There are two opposing views that divide the entire population of the world into two groups. And it was caused to be this way due to the contamination of sin introduced by Satan, and is the driving divide, and all people fall into one category or the other, either by choice or by default. You can choose to love God, in other words, or you can say, I haven't decided yet, and by default, you're already in the kingdom that's against God.
That's right. Amen.
Or you can say something else is God. It's not the God as he has described himself in the Word. That's why we said that the Scripture is unbridled truth with no mixture of error.
Yes.
God has clearly revealed to man who he is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's built into the world and you can't remove it.
Amen.
Time is framed around the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's not framed around any other so-called religious person or system.
Mm-hmm.
See, the time is divided by Christ. It is 2014 years from the birth of Christ.
Amen.
And God did that. I just want you to know that.
Yes.
That's the only way that could be, and that's an undeniable fact.
Amen.
But the psalmist says here, and he's talking about blessedness. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? We talk about, oh, we blessed. Well, to be blessed is to be on the right side of God.
Amen.
It's not to be on the wrong side of God or against God, but it's to be on the right side of God and be with God.
That's right.
To have all the things that God has promised mankind credited to your account.
Amen.
So that's what it means to be blessed.
Yes.
Some people think it's blessed if I get a winning lottery ticket, or they have other things they think might be a blessing.
Right.
You see, but blessedness has to do with where you stand in eternity with a holy God who will be your judge whether you like it or not.
Right.
See, and that day is coming and we don't know when it will be. I never know what time I'm going to check out, but I do know where I'm going to check in, because I already got my reservations made. See, so that's what it means to be blessed, is the fact that I know what's up. I know where I'm going. I know, like Job said, that my Redeemer living. See, and that he will judge me. His eye, I will see him with my own eyes and not another. Job was ready. And so the Psalter here, which is what we call the whole collection of the Psalms, David is the writer. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not, see that, in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now that tells you how the world is, who is antagonistic against the true God.
Yes.
First of all, they are called the ungodly.
That's right.
And he says that you do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We got a lot of ungodly counsel in the world.
Amen.
And we have to be able to identify, is this godly counsel or ungodly counsel?
That's right.
And we want to know, because when you start off walking with the ungodly, guess what?
Amen.
Eventually it says you stand in the way of sinners. That means you stop walking, now you're standing. You're taking a stand for the wrong thing. Or then eventually you get comfortable in sin and you sit in the seat of the scornful. So you're going down from walking to standing to sitting, and now you scorn them. People like Bill Maher, who mocked God all day on TV. All kinds of folks. And I don't mind calling him out, because he would call me out and tell me he thinks that I'm crazy. So I'm going to call him out. You are an ungodly sinner and you have proclaimed that you are on TV publicly. That's the seat of the scornful. I want to identify that for you.
Amen.
Anybody who says there is no God and is a bunch of religious hypocrites and blah, 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 is a person sitting in the seat of the scornful.
Yes.
He has a lot of other people in Hollywood who sit right next to him, and I'm not going to call all their names because I don't want to waste the time in this service
all right.
to discuss them.
Yes.
In And it's my prayer that they repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope that through the ministry of the internet, they hear my voice and call me out one day so I can get on their show and tell them exactly what thus saith the Lord. So I don't mind saying it right now, and I'll say it loud. I'm going to say it proud. That is a good definition of the seat of the scornful. I want you to know that. People who openly blast God all the time and have a roast of people who do the right things. And I could give you a list, but I'm not going to waste my time nor your hearing this morning.
All right.
So understand who those are. Identify them by grace through faith. Pray for them because they are the most pitiable of all people that will be lost. They seem to have been the most blessed in a lot of ways according to man's standards. They got all kinds of money. They got airplanes. They got planes, trains, and automobiles, but they have a burning hell on their future list, and their reservations have been made with Satan by their own decision. And so don't walk in their counsel is what David says. Don't stand in their way. Don't be in the way with them, taking a stand with them. And certainly do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Because that's what happens when you abide in sin. You end up getting comfortable in it. Then you want to scorch the rest of the world because you're so miserable. Okay, well, it could be on The View or whatever other kind of channel you might or show you may want to see. But the difference is the persons who are walking in the counsel of God are in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. We're talking about the man who is blessed. His delight is in the law of the Lord. When I hear God's word, I get happy. That's what
too.
It means. I'm delighted to come to church. I'm happy to be able to get up and come in and give praise to the Lord. I'm not only doing it here, but I'm doing it when I leave here. I'm doing it on my job. I'm doing it in the marketplace. I'm doing it as I walk by the way, as I rise up and when I lie down. I constantly delight myself in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's the constant occupation of my mind to reiterate into myself what God has said. And remember the blessing of the cross that God has given his son. So that whosoever, even if you happen to be sitting in the seat of the scornful, let me say, you don't have to keep sitting there. Because you're under God's mercy. God has given you mercy, else you wouldn't be able to sit there. And he's doing it because he's a good God. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's why they still remain, in case you wonder why would God let them sit there in the seat of the scornful. But the fact is, God loves them even though they don't love him. But back to the blessed one. The blessed one is the one who doesn't listen to bad counsel. He won't take a stand with people who have bad counsel, neither will he sit in that seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, God's law, we meditate day and night. That's the constant occupation of our mind. Now, what's the difference here? That person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There is no more blessed tree than that one that's planted by the rivers of water. That tree is strong. It's got all it needs to nourish it. It can be shaken, but it cannot be moved. You see, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, God has promised prosperity to those that are rooted and grounded in the truth of his word. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. It used to be, even with the wheat, there's a kernel of wheat, but it's got a husk that's hard on the outside. And they used to winnow the wheat and throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow through it and blow away the chaff. And you end up with kernels of wheat sitting on the ground. And so he said, they're like the chaff. That's the waste part that you're going to throw away. It has no benefit, no nutritional value. You see? And they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And he says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They don't think there is a judgment, but they're going to find out they're wrong. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So there's two schools of thought here. And there are two categories. And ever since the first transgression, God chose to defend mankind. Do you know that? Adam and Eve transgressed, but God chose to defend them. The battle was between God and Satan. Satan came in and deceived Eve, and Adam willfully sinned, but God got on their side. That's what happened. That's what I mean when it says that as soon as the first transgression went down, God had told Adam, do not eat. And he chose to defend him when Satan had met messed up the whole situation. Mm-hmm. See, so you should see that God is a defender even of the ones who transgress, because he doesn't want them to be destroyed.
Yes.
He could have stopped the human family easy when there were just two.
Amen.
All they had to do was wipe them out, then there wouldn't be any more.
Amen.
See, but he allowed them to roll on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And as one pastor I used to study under said, and you've heard me say this before, the only commandment that man did not break was be fruitful and multiply. Here we are. Because we kept that one. We believe in that fruitful and multiply. We may not do nothing else, but we're going to be fruitful and multiply. You see, so we love that one. We might not keep the rest of the commandments. But in either case, God became the defender of mankind and provided mercy and salvation. You see that? From the very beginning, it was by a priestly presentation of an acceptable sacrifice which he made available so that the ones who choose his mercy can belong to the group known as the godly or the righteous.
Yes.
You and I become godly or righteous because God set up a way for you to be considered godly or righteous. He got on your side, defended you, made a sacrifice. Adam and Eve had tried to cover themselves with the works of their own hands, which were fig leaves, and God in Genesis 3:21 slayed an animal and covered them with coats of skins, the Bible says.
Amen.
Showing them that it required death and the shedding of blood for the remission of sins.
Yes.
That was the earliest picture of the gospel in the Bible, other than the prophecy of it, which was given in Genesis 3:15. It was spoken to the serpent in Genesis 3:15.
Yes.
He told the serpent, upon your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Mm-hmm. It shall bruise you on the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Yes. Prophesying the coming of Messiah. And so Messiah wasn't scheduled to come yet, so God slayed an animal, Genesis 3:21, set forth the sacrificial system to show mankind that I love you, and I will make a way for you. I will supply a sacrifice for you.
Yes.
That sacrifice will be a substitute for you. If you trust in him and believe and walk by faith, I will cover you for your sin.
Follow.
And so that's what we see there. So there's two groups, the godly and the ungodly, or the righteous and the wicked, as they are called throughout the whole scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so David has identified those for us right there in Psalm number 1. Now what I want you to see is that both the psalmist King David and Jesus Christ, who is called the Son of David, who is also called the Son of God,
yes,
is the son of a king. He's the son of King David in the flesh, but he's the son of God, the ultimate king. Therefore, he is called the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
See, think about that. The Prince of Peace. Think about that. He said there that basically he is the son of God, making him a prince, right? And so therefore, he is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
But he is the son of David, because according to the flesh, he came through the lineage of King David, through all those generations from Abraham, the Bible says, to King David, or 14 generations, and from King David till the deportation into Babylon, or 14 generations, and from that time to the birth of Christ, or 14 generations. Through 42 generations, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came of the seed of David, who was also the son of the King of the Most High.
Right.
See, Mary was with child of the Holy Ghost after 42 generations from the promise. And so what I want you to see here is that basically he came according to the flesh through David to teach of the opposite nature of those who believe in God and walk with him according to his word versus the ones who deny God and walk according to the course of this world, the flesh, and the devil. That's what we see here in Matthew chapter 5 as Jesus presented what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It says here, seeing the multitudes. Now he's seen the seed of man multiply into millions. Millions and millions by this time, by the time he comes, when 42 generations have passed from the promise to Abraham. It says he went up into a mountain so he could speak to more of them. He got in the right spot where it was acoustically perfect so that he could speak without a PA system and reach the multitudes with his voice. And then it says his disciples came to him. Basically, and that's where he was training the 12, who were the carriers of the gospel, who carried it so that you and I could get it. It says he opened his mouth once his disciples came to him and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now what you're going to see here is a lot of opposites, things that you would say, people who are poor, how are they blessed? Somebody in the world might think that's a paradox. If you're poor, how can you be blessed? The truth is, if you're poor in spirit, God knows it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says that basically blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you look these verses up in the Greek, it says theirs, and it means theirs and only theirs is the kingdom of heaven, is the type of tense that this is in the Greek language. And then it says, blessed. Now notice that word, blessed, same word David used in Psalm 1. Blessed are they that mourn. That seems like that's a oxymoron. How can you be blessed if you mourn? And that means something is not good and you're aching and you're in pain over it. But the word says, blessed are they who mourn. Think about that now for a minute. He says, for they shall be comforted. God is going to comfort everyone who mourns, who trust in him. There won't be anything to mourn about when the new kingdom has come upon the earth. We don't know when that will be, but you can enter into it right now by faith. If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, you can be in that number right now. God loves you just like you are. He will fix it so that the mourning will be turned into joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what his promise is.
Yeah.
Notice what he says. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That doesn't mean weak. That means you have power and it's under control.
Amen.
You walk in the power of the Spirit of God, but you have control over where you're going. And God is the one who is guiding your steps.
Amen.
Now, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, we discussed this briefly in Bible study on Wednesday. If you are hungering and thirsting after something, that means you don't have it, right?
Amen.
So we know we don't have the righteousness that we need.
Right.
We hunger for it. We thirst for it. Those are natural. He used natural drives that people have, hunger and thirst, because we understand that.
Amen.
We know what it's like to, when we go an hour or two. Some of us might have to go a day or two. Some of us go 5 minutes and we're hungry. So it just depends. But we understand hunger. It's something that we don't like. We like to fill that up with a Big Mac or do something to kind of wipe that thing out when we have hunger. But he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. We understand thirst a little better, you know, because I think we can get along longer without food than we can without water. But he says, you understand the drives of hunger and thirst. That means there's something I'm missing that I need to quench, that needs to be satisfied. He says, blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? For you shall be filled. See, God promises to fill you up. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, that means if you feel like you're deficient of righteousness, then don't worry about it. God is going to fill you with righteousness. You see, because you're hungering and thirsty. So consider yourself blessed if you are in that category. Now notice what he says here. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. See, when we show mercy to others, you are never more godlike than when you are showing others mercy.
Yeah.
In other words, they may deserve to be whopped over the head, but you hold it back. Or they may deserve to be scandalized or talked about, but you hold it back. You treat them like God does, giving them another chance or another opportunity. And so moving on, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, and when we look at God, that the Bible says you only the pure in heart shall see God. See, so he cleans up your heart to make you acceptable to see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, this section of Matthew chapter 5 are known as the Beatitudes. In other words, these are attitudes that you ought to be.
That's right.
See, this is the way we ought to be.
Amen.
We ought to be like this. You know, we ought to have these attitudes and walk in them. You heard the term Beatitudes.
Yes.
I want to give you some definition for that.
All right.
This is the way we ought to be.
Amen.
If we're not like this, this is the way we ought to pray. So that we can become like this.
Yes.
You know, the more like this we are, the closer we are to being like Christ.
Amen.
You know, the farther away from this that we are, the farther away we are from being like Christ.
Amen.
So let's take the psalmist's advice and meditate in this day and night.
Yes.
If you want to get like this, it's going to require some meditation in the law of the Lord. Amen. Day and night.
Amen.
Be truthful with yourself. Analyze your own self, because if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged, the word says.
Amen.
See, so we want to judge ourselves. Are are you really like that? Ask yourself. Put your own self up on the witness stand.
Yes.
And answer truthfully to yourself.
Yes.
If you're not, this is an item for prayer.
Yes,
and God has given us the ability to pray. He says he will hear and answer prayer. He says that if you pray and long for me, that I will fill that which you are lacking, that hunger and that thirst of righteousness shall be filled. And so these are things that we can practice during the holidays. We need this even more when there's a bunch of other stuff that seems to be amplified. You know how the culture tends to get, you notice how crime increases during the holidays.
Yes.
Things like what Brother Ray said, those kind of things go on the rise.
Yes.
Because people don't have faith in God.
Yes.
They don't trust God, so they prey on other people in order to get what they think they really need.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to be prayed up and be aware and have a mindset of these type of things that the Lord has said, these attitudes.
Yes.
And be as wise as a serpent, Jesus said, and harmless as a dove.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So moving on, notice what he says here. Blessed are, he says, are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Yes.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, he says, basically they're persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. You know, if you say the truth and stand for the truth, you will be reviled. That means spoken evil
of.
Yes. You may even be persecuted. Somebody will try to shuffle your card to the back of the deck.
Yes.
Or put somebody else or something else in front of you. And they shall say all manner of evil against you. That's slander and all those things that go on behind your back. They're not man enough or woman enough to say it in your face, but they will go and stab you in the back whenever they get a chance. You see? But he says when these things happen for his sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now he explains, why leave my people? Why are the blessed in the midst of the wicked? Here's a good answer. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? In other words, salt is a preservative to stop things from rotting and from going downhill. So God leaves the righteous in the midst of the wicked for that purpose, because you are someone who preserves righteousness by the way you live your life. You are one who shares that with others who need to hear it.
Amen.
And believe it and to understand it. And so we are here to slow down the rottenness of the world.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see wickedness and sin in the world on the rise.
Yeah.
But you and I are here to slow it down.
Yeah.
We are the salt of the earth. And but if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it, Jesus said, but to be trodden under the feet of men?
Yes.
Finally, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So in other words, the work God is doing in the life of the righteous, everybody sees it.
They see it.
They may not comment on it. They may not understand it, but they see it. It's just like, look at that lighted city up there. You can't miss it.
Yes.
It's in the distance. It's lit up. It's illuminating the darkness.
Amen.
And so this is the quality and the character of the life of the saints, those who trust in God. So we see that the church, who are the called out ones, you and I who believe, basically are, we have been set apart by God to instruct the world in the word.
Yeah.
Number one, because it's the word that we preach that has power. The power is in the gospel itself.
Yes, it is.
The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So we go forth with the gospel, the simple message that God loves you just like you are. He will accept you just like you are.
Yes.
You cannot be clean without Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
But if you trust Christ, he will make you whole right now. And he will give you the grace necessary to save you entirely right now. It happens today. It doesn't happen in 29 years or 29 minutes. It happens right now when you believe. And so the good news is that God loves you. He puts us here to set forth the absolute truth of God, to make plain what God has said on every subject.
Yes.
You and I become a source of knowledge on every subject.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of subjects going around out there. We don't have time to address them all this morning.
Yes.
But we do have an answer, and it is in the Word of God.
That's right.
The Word of God is crystal clear on things that people seem not to know what is the right answer.
Yes.
And you and I are called to bring those answers to bear and take a stand for the truth.
Amen.
And so we make plain that which God has said on every subject and reveal to the ones that have ears to hear. You won't be able to reach everybody, but there's somebody who will have ears to hear that God has prepared. All that the Spirit said to the churches, even though all this will be done against the world's way. The world has another way.
Yes.
Has another direction that is going. But you and I keep on speaking the truth.
Oh, yes.
And that's what sets us apart. And we will run and turn into persecution basically by coming against the world's way. So I want you to understand, as we said, as I close, that this is basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. The Bible, the Word of God. One of my pastor friends said it's be informed before leaving earth. I like that one too. You need to be informed of what God is doing. Understand He loves you. He does have a way that's right. And the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
That's right.
In Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 says it in there twice. So I want to do something slightly different here today, because God loves you just like you are, and I'm going to ask the deacons to stand here, and I just want to know if there's anyone here who trusts God today to be your Savior. You've never done it before. It has crossed your mind that you need Him,
yes.
And we know that He is here for you. He wants you to know that you're saved. This is something you ought to be 100% sure of, especially in these last and evil days.
Oh, yes.
And so I want to invite you to trust Christ, whoever you are. Wherever you are, I want to ask the whole church to stand at this time.
Amen.
If there's anybody here who wants to trust in the Lord today, perhaps for the first time, I just want to ask you, wherever you are, raise your hand, and we will come and we'll address that. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy MB Church, we are here to instruct you in the Word of God. You don't have to move right now. We just want you to extend your hand.
Yes.
And we will say a prayer with you right now, wherever you are.
Yes.
So whoever you are, the Lord put it on my heart to ask you to accept His Son. He gave His Son in order that you might be free from sin. And if you trusted Him today, you can have that assurance in your heart.
Oh, yes.
That He loves you just like you are.
Amen.
He will take you no matter what kind of situation you're dealing with.
Yes.
In your life.
Amen.
So don't refuse Him right now. Just raise your hand right now. And we will receive you no matter what the case is, whether it is for salvation.
Yes.
And we hope that you will if you haven't been saved, if it's for any other reason, membership, whatever it is that you want to do, we want to accept you right now. So we give you time right now.
Yes.
Don't be ashamed to own the Lord. He loves you. He was, look at what He went through. I always like to remind people. See, we get the wrong picture when we think about the cross. They always show you an image of a cross with Jesus with some kind of garb wrapped on Him or something. The truth of the matter is they stripped Him naked.
Yes, they did.
And hung Him high. And paraded Him down the middle of the Via Della Rosa, as they call it on there. Right down Main Street outside of Jerusalem, we might say. And took Him up to a hill called Calvary, where He was nailed to the tree.
Yes, He was.
They made Him bear His cross and carry it up there by Himself while He was bleeding profusely.
That's right.
From many wounds. It was an awful scene. God covered the scene with blackness. That's the only cover that He had on Him. Was the cover of darkness.
Yes.
The Bible says there was darkness over the whole land while He was being crucified.
That's right.
And God covered Him with darkness because it was a scandalous scene. And this was God in the flesh.
Yes.
God the Son had come to give His life as a ransom for sin.
Yes.
And man mutilated Him and abused Him, pressed the crown of thorns into His head, beat Him and flogged Him like He was a criminal, yet He had done no sin. Neither was there any deceit in His mouth. And I just want you to know He did that for you. Then they gambled for His clothes.
Amen.
To fulfill the prophecy that had been spoken in the Psalms.
Yes.
That they cast lots upon My vesture. You see? And He did that for you. It was a shameless thing.
Oh, yes, He did.
So we should not be ashamed to own Him.
That's right.
And to say, I trust Him.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you trust Him now and you never have before, just raise your hand right now, wherever you are. And we'll ask God to come into your life right now, wherever you are. You don't have to move from your seat.
Yes, we will.
Just raise your hand. If you have a special need that you want Him to heal in your life, I want to ask you right now, raise your hand.
Yes.
Just raise your hand. Anything in your life that you want God to cover you. Amen. We're not going to call you out. We just want to help you to know that God loves you.
Yes,
and we'll talk with you more about this in the future.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Anybody at all, just raise your hand right now. God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to help you with whatever it is you're struggling with in your life. He gave his son to be crucified so that he could do that. And the Bible says that he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Mm-hmm. Hebrews said. And it sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was successful. He completed the mission that God had given him. Totally successful. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Also, let me announce that I got a call from a young lady over the weekend, I guess, or sometime this week, telling me that they wanted to unite with our church, and that was Ebony. And so we want to thank God for Ebony coming to the church. Amen. She's not here now, but because I'm happy. Amen. Amen. And so we will receive her when she does come. Amen. I just wanted to mention it to the church.
Amen.
That we did that. And I just want you to know that whoever you are, God loves you. We pray that you have a good, solid relationship with Christ.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's the best thing I ever did. I'm not ashamed to tell you.
Amen. Me too.
I was listening to what Brother Ray said.
Amen.
I've been in some situations like that myself. Mm. I had a dude put a pistol to my nose like that and squeeze the trigger. Turned out it was tear gas.
Mm.
But I didn't know what it was.
Mm.
See? And I got burnt just from the blast from it.
Yeah.
You know? And he was doing it just to be mean. He didn't even want anything.
Yeah.
Just jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a burn on my lip for some time after that. But you don't ever know what you're running.
Never know.
Yes, right.
That's right.
And yes, you don't know what people will do. And I've been robbed before. And same thing like he said. You know. And but you just have to look over your life and see what God did for you. Amen. So we're not going to prolong the time anymore at this point. But we see we have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. We go right ahead because we do have a baptismal service scheduled to be immediately after the morning worship. Amen.